Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we give credit where credit is due, and thus we praise former future President Donald Trump for his nomination of the Grimace as the new head of the Department of Ham and Burger Services. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I got with me two of the most my pals, any two, Deanna and Kennedy.
A few weeks ago, we recorded a podcast in like the late afternoon, and we determined that that was a terrible time for us to record a podcast. And yet here we are.
Here we are.
Wasn't that like an evening though? I feel like it was a little later.
No, it was like exactly it this was time. Four,
yeah.
I fucked up.
Yeah. Four is because we're fully awake. We're not in the right amount of settled. No one's the right amount of settled right now.
Yeah, at least Deanna and I, Kennedy, I know you are on like somewhat of a human being sleep schedule, at least more than us. But like Deanna and I, like we can make things happen like earlier in the day, and we can make things happen at night. You catch us in the middle of the day, fucking useless.
Useless.
You put me on the spot at 2 a.m. I'm fucking ready.
I'm ready.
Right now, I have heartburn.
We are sponsored today by
McDonald's.
We need Pepto-Bismol to sponsor us. We need help. We have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, and someone might have diarrhea. It's not me.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably me. Just if I had to guess by any, future. I mean, former. You know what?
It's me, but statistically, it's you. So,
yeah,
consider that, folks.
Much cover nausea, and that's my part of that, indigestion.
Now, you might be surprised that it wasn't the Hamburglar getting the nod for the Department of Ham and Burgers, but actually, the Hamburglar is going to be the head of the Department of Transportation.
Well, yeah.
Man in the Moon, Department of Commerce. We've got the headless Egg McMuffin horseman. He's going to be a Department of Justice. Looking good, folks.
The Arby's oven mitt will be Department of Wendy's. Folks.
Wendy from Wendy's is going to be the new ambassador to Israel.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss, but honestly, I want to ask the two of you, what's been going on with you? How do you like living in Trump's second America?
I threw up like six times today.
That says it all.
Yeah.
How do you like it? I heard that you had to get a job.
Yeah, I have to get a job. I think it's unrelated to Donald Trump. But
yeah, no, Joe Biden. Now that Joe Biden's out of office, Andrew Hillary can't just get his free government Democrat checks anymore.
His protester paychecks aren't going to be rolling in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Biden signs those personally, and AOC also.
Yeah, I mean, they come from George Soros, but Joe Biden and AOC signed them. More kind of like autographing like a baseball card.
And Joe Biden sometimes writes something like encouraging or sometimes discouraging, weirdly enough. So that's always interesting too.
It's nice now with mobile deposit, you can keep the checks as like a little keepsake.
Yeah, it's like a collector's item, you know?
Yeah.
I have a binder full of them laminated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one check per page. I know how to read. That's just a fact about me. Kennedy, what's a fact about you?
A fact about me is I ate noodles today.
Okay. Just plain noodles?
No.
Yeah, I made some the boiled water flavored spaghetti. You know, it's great.
I mean, you did just watch me eat dry toast. So.
Okay, dry toast, fucking whole different kind of snack than wet noodles, plain.
Well, you don't just eat them you don't act like the pasta water is broth.
That's what I'm suggesting. That's insane.
that's not right.
That's not a good suggestion. That's a bad suggestion.
All I'm saying is, if you do that, you fucked up. Deanna, what's a fact about you?
I threw up like 6 times today. I told you already.
That's a fact I already knew.
That's Deanna's only fact.
Have you ever kickflipped?
Wait.
Yes.
Okay.
I got another fact for you.
Okay.
I saw a coot this week. Do you know what that is?
Chillicoot Charlie's from the bar in Anchorage, Alaska? Yeah, I know what coot is. Coots.
Yeah, I know about that. But you said every one of those words like you never heard it before.
Yeah.
And I don't still know what Kennedy's talking about.
Oh, I also have no idea what Kennedy's talking about.
It's a waterfowl. It looks kind of like a duck, but not exactly. And they look very silly and they sound very silly. And it was really fun to see them.
I hate to put you on the spot here. Can you give us an impression? What does it sound like?
It's kind of like...
Breaking.
That's also the sound that the coot would make if you asked it to give an approximation of how Kennedy sounds to it. So
yeah. That would be their impression of me.
Breaking: Donald Trump has just nominated that coot as head of Department of Communications. Folks, we've got so many departments to discuss.
What if Donald Trump only appointed people that were also named Donald?
Is Donald Rumsfeld still alive?
Donald Duck is still alive.
This reminded me of, I asked a friend of mine named Joe. I was like, so how does the Council of Joes feel about Joe Biden blowing it? And like, as if he had it prepared, he was just like, well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's put a hit out on him, and Joseph Stalin's also really mad. And I was like, okay, this is pretty good. This Council of Joes bit's going somewhere. So, you know, a Council of Donalds?
Wait, when you're saying this Council of Joe bit, is this just something that he has made up?
It was just something that happened
in that moment.
Okay, I only asked because like a year or so ago, I got invited to some Facebook group, which like I barely check Facebook, but I still have it because like a lot of comedy booking goes through it or whatever. I got invited to some Facebook group called the Council of Andrews.
Whoa.
Where it's like 20,000 people named Andrew that just like have this Facebook group and they're like talking about like the Drew of the week or whatever. And whenever I joined, I think I posted or maybe somebody like tagged me or something, but the whole group freaked out because they're like, we finally got the Andrew from the ice cream truck post. Like that, like I was a celebrity Andrew. Like I was a get for them.
Like you were a collector's Andrew.
Yeah, a rare Andrew.
I mean,
Andrew.
To be fair, okay, you know, we dunk on Andrew Hillary sometimes, but if we made Andrew collective an Andrew's collectible card thing,
yeah,
like baseball cards.
The trading card.
Then the Andrew Hillary trading card would be like at least an uncommon.
Yeah. I could take that. Yeah,
you would not be a common, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that.
Now, you would also not be a mythic Andrew. I think we have to reserve that for Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield and Andrew Dice Clay. It's the only two mythic Andrews. I was like, how do I wrap up this thing I'm talking about? And then I realized I already had.
Yeah,
we're not
no
talking
shit.
About anything.
We're not really in the midst of anything.
We are just saying stuff right now.
Patreon.com/worstweek. Yeah, that's right, folks. If you like the show, you can give us some money to make more of it. We are going to be doing an episode about the new documentary from up-and-coming filmmaker Matt Walsh called Am I Racist? Deanna and I watched Am I Racist? Kennedy, have you graced yourself with this film yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, it is, you know, I don't want to, I do this, we're going to do an episode about it. It's going to be behind a paywall, so I don't want to give too much up. That movie it's fucking crazy.
I wish I had watched it when I was as nauseated as I am right now. It would have made more sense, I feel like.
It would have either completely cured you or killed you, so you wouldn't have to suffer anymore.
Mm. I would love an end to my suffering. I'm going to make a documentary called Am I Suffering?
It's just the word yes.
If you give $10 a month, we say your name. So thank you to AJ from Baltimore, Chauncey Anders, Pablo Hummus, Childless Cat Dad, Old Hob, Goblin, Goblin Mode, Andrew Hump for You, Fuck Like My Dad, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Zap Action Daughter, Nandy Angelus, Brienne, Dragula 206, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Josh Troop, and Terminally Online Leftness, Inex, Megaforce Base, CA, Brand Bugs, and our newest motherfucking patron, shout out to Nate motherfucking Spud.
Nate Spud, what a kid.
What up, potato Nate?
Collectors, a collector, collectible Nate, for
that
sure.
That is a rare Nate, or a rare Spud.
Unclear.
We should make trading cards of all of our patrons.
Yes, and for ourselves. We should make,
Our
own Pokemon cards.
We won't
cards.
Release them.
We should make our own Pokemon cards.
We should Photoshop all of our patrons into a family picture.
I agree. I dropped.
We should make a 9/11 trading card game. All right, that's the last thought I got there.
The rules are so easy, you'll never forget. Okay.
Wow.
So I want to begin this week talking about something that is fucking infuriating. There have been a number of absolutely repulsive selections this week for people to hold certain offices and certain titles. And, you know, we're going to get into a lot of them, but I want to just start with what I think is maybe the most atrocious, maybe the most offensive. And that is that this week, John Krasinski was crowned the sexiest man alive.
What a choice.
John Krasinski is the most British looking American I've ever seen.
He looks like a clay, like real John Krasinski looks like a claymation version of himself.
He looks like a guy that was born with opinions about immigrants.
Here's the thing. I'm like a mostly straight person, but, you know, to the extent that, like, I can definitely recognize whenever, you know, a man is attractive or whatever. How the fuck did John Krasinski win this thing?
What has he even done this year that anyone would be talking or thinking about him?
I mean, maybe some of that, like, Jack Reacher show. I don't know if that happened this year. I don't.
He hasn't really been in shit lately, it feels like.
Yeah. But, I mean, what to the extent he has been in things, it ain't shit I'm trying to fucking watch.
This dude is, like, I don't know. He's just, like, definitionally just, like.
He's very, like.
Like, regular dude looking. Like, he's not, like, a special looking dude. He's a very normal looking dude.
I would say at most he's average handsome. At best he's average handsome. Like,
I mean, he's like an Ohio 8.
I would say above average handsome. He's not bad looking, but he's definitely not the sexiest man alive.
Like, he's not bad looking, but can you imagine him being seductive?
No.
Like Jim from The Office giving you the fuck me eyes? Like, are you kidding me?
No.
How do we get here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jim from The Office being considered sexiest man alive is definitely just, as soon as you say those words, everyone should realize, like, oh man, we fucked up. What are you talking about?
It's not good. Who's his PR team, though? Because somebody there was working hard. They did a great job.
Well, what I learned is apparently once, I think this is People Magazine. I don't even know who does this. Once they make their decision of who they're going to name Sexiest Man Alive, they have to call them and ask them if it's okay. What if they called like 50 people and he's the only one that answered?
Yeah, or if some other people were like, I'm not interested.
Yeah, yeah. Like, man, I got shit to do. I'm not trying to be on a fucking magazine right now. Fuck you.
Sexiest man alive. That's like two seconds away from getting me too'd. No thanks. That's what some of them were saying.
Yeah, I mean, once you're on top, people start coming for you, you know?
Yeah, you know, but congratulations to Emily Blunt, whose husband is the sexiest man alive. I'm happy for her.
Yeah, good for her.
Oh, no, that's got to be so fucking annoying at home now. Babe, did you see this?
babe, you see this?
Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah. Condolences to Emily Blunt. Changed my mind.
That's it. Yeah.
Especially because, come on, look at this guy. You know he's going to be a dork about it.
I'm literally the sexiest man alive. Or why are you even asking me that right now?
Hey, babe, you want to get down and dirty with the sexiest man alive tonight?
He definitely says down and dirty, like, earnestly when he's trying
I was, like, trying in my mind. I was trying to pick from some different options for, like, euphemisms for having sex. And I was like, John Krasinski, he's a down and dirty guy.
Yeah, he's a down and dirty dude for sure.
That's the most graphic thing he's willing to say.
Put him on a list.
He's at the top of that list. Mm. Unfortunately. we're gonna need a second list.
Let's just speculate. Maybe they had tapped Neil Gaiman for sexiest man alive, but then they were like, uh-oh.
Why? What did he do? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's fucked up.
Yeah, their top five choices were Neil Gaiman, P. Diddy.
The Diddycrats. Anyways, I don't fucking know. This is, like I said,
Diddycrats winning right now.
So there were a few other, I would say mildly more consequential people named two positions this week. A lot of them coming out of the, you know, the Trump transition team. Ever heard of it?
Wait, Trump didn't name John Krasinski sexiest man alive? I thought we were already on to this.
No, there was a lot this week. The hits have kept coming, and they won't stop coming, I fear.
Much like the years.
Yes. So just to get a few out of the way, we've got Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence. Did the two of you know that Tulsi Gabbard grew up in a surfer cult?
I don't. What does that mean? No, I didn't know that. I don't even know what that means.
It's like
she grew up in a weird cult,
like literally a cult, like some like charismatic fucking freak out in Hawaii that like loved to surf and like had, you know, all the parents like or all the women were like, it's just your typical kind of cult. I'd have to look back into it. It's been a few years since I remember learning about it, but man, fucking crazy shit. Also, I think she is a spy for Russia. I don't know. I don't care. It's silly. We've got Kristi Noem is Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. Kristi Noem, if you remember the dog killer.
Gnome in a home.
Gnome for home, baby. Let's go, dude.
Listen, killing dogs is like, that's the number one qualification that you need to be at the top of a law enforcement agency in America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, yes. we've got, let's see. Oh, this is fun. Secretary of State, Little Marco.
The Rubes.
The little Marco. He got a job. I'm so proud of him. He's grown up. He's finally got a job.
Wow.
He is going to be like the worst Secretary of State in all of U.S. history. This is amazing.
Yeah, I think it is like a 20-way tie for every one of these people being like the maybe the worst possible option. It's again, the hits just don't stop coming. For Department of Defense, we've got Pete Hegseth. Do you know who Pete Hegseth is, Deanna?
That's a television guy, huh?
That is a Fox and Friends host who served in the military for a few years.
A television guy.
He's a TV guy.
Wow.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
What's his new job? What's his
Department of Defense? I think like $1 trillion a year department, something like that.
Great.
Yeah. Love it. As UN ambassador, we've got Elise Stefanik, which if you don't know that name, she was the person that was leading the charge to get the presidents of prestigious universities fired for anti-Semitism the accusation of anti-Semitism after kids protested for Palestine. Like, I think she successfully got the president of like Harvard or Columbia fired or something like that.
Great.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Love it. Love it. This one actually is kind of fun. Doug Burgum, Interior Secretary. Remember fun. Doug? That guy was just happy to be there.
Good for him.
So this is a big one. Matt Gaetz, Attorney General. Now, here's the thing. This was a tweet I saw, so I didn't want to lead with it because it's a, I would say, a very good joke. That somebody was like, hey, QAnon, I know you said you wanted to bring these pedophiles to justice, but I don't think this is what you meant.
It's pretty good.
Excellent. Excellent joke. Terrible reality. This one's crazy because, like, he has this whole investigation from the House Ethics Committee because he straight up fucked a high schooler.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm sorry. I guess
at least once.
At least once. And I guess putting it that way isn't even correct. He sexually assaulted a high schooler because I think that is. I saw a few people saying, like, when you say he had sex with a 17-year-old, that's not having sex. That's sexual assault.
Right.
Right.
Which is worse. And it is accurate. And so,
and now the House investigation goes bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, I feel like somebody might leak it, but I also feel like it won't matter. Yeah, it doesn't
and
seem
these
like
motherfuckers wonder why a fucking QAnon Epstein truther took a shot at Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
The mysteries.
Who would have thought?
How could it be?
Finally, we've got it for Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, this one, again, could not have picked a worse person for the job. This is Department of Health and Human Services. If I understand correctly, that's like where the FDA comes out of and like other shit like that. Like Department of Health and Human Services is like a blanket thing that covers a lot of different things. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Put most possible damage. This is great, honestly.
You forgot one.
Elon and Vivek.
Well, those guys, yeah. But Tom Homan as the border czar.
Oh,
y'all
yeah.
Remember Tom Homan?
He's
a guy that has been often described as really good at deporting people.
Oh, well, that's good, you know. Is that called a deportologist?
A deportato?
I like that better.
This guy loves deporting, like literally loves deporting people. He is like he is a freak. And in 2017, Trump praised Homan in a speech as someone who looks very nasty. He looks very mean.
Oh, great.
Well, you know. We all look for different things in a border czar.
This is the guy that fathered a child-parent separation at the border. Mm. Like, it was his idea, just for the record.
Great.
And we can thank Obama for him, because Obama put him in charge of some big department back during his term for reasons we'll never know.
I think
reasons
it's because Obama was a bad person and a bad president.
No, we're not smart enough to understand these important reasons, Andrew Hillary. Come
Fair
on.
Enough. Okay. I don't want to sound insensitive, but like this, over the last like week or so, I have in a way kind of been feeling, and this is not, I don't like this feeling, but I have been kind of feeling like a little bit of the accelerationist kind of feeling that I'm like, okay, like, here's the thing is that, I don't know. I don't want people to suffer, but like, I feel like it's like, okay, this is a proof of concept. This shit is going to make literally everything worse, and it will be undeniable whose fault it is. And again, like, if we had a fucking Democratic Party that was like at least somewhat willing to be populist, they could take advantage of it, which we don't, but I don't know.
I mean, you say that it will be undeniable whose fault it is, but that doesn't mean that they won't try to deny whose fault it is and that people won't believe them.
I don't disagree. I don't know. Like in 2012, nobody could have fucking in any way, shape or form predicted that Trump would be the president 4 years later. And I'm like, okay, shit is going to be so fucked up. 4 years from now, maybe if enough shit is broken, we can actually dramatically change the trajectory of the country. I know it's like,
I don't think anyone should like be an accelerationist, but I think we all have to live in the accelerationist reality right now. So I think it's like, to me, it's like, I don't think like it's something that anyone needs to get excited for, but I don't think you're unreasonable to like be like, well, I guess this is what it is. So maybe, you know, maybe we can organize or something. And it's like, that's what everyone should be kind of thinking right now is like, you know, go organize, like go get something done in your community, you know?
Yeah. It's not even so much that like, I think accelerationists are like, kind of like, I hope it gets fucked up. But my thing is like, I'm more like, oh, it's going to get fucked up. I hope we take advantage of it. Like, I hope we use that or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think that's the same as other accelerationists, but I definitely don't hope it gets fucked up, but I can sense that it is going to, because it already is.
There's literally nothing to stop any of them. Like, Trump's already doing this thing where he's like, I want you to do recess appointments for all of my cabinet picks, which is like basically like he wants to like skip the process of the confirmation hearings and the FBI checks and everything. It's like, okay, like fucking, like there's just nobody that could stop him. So like, it's do or die time. And again, like this all comes down to like, if the shit is going to get bad and like, is anybody going to stand up and be like, hey, all these things that are falling apart, it is literally because of this. Here's how we fix it.
Hey, you know what though? You know what we're forgetting? We're forgetting that actually everything is going to be fine because the Senate parliamentarian is going to make sure that
fucking Quasimodo hanging up in the little pillar pyre at the top of the Senate chamber. It's just been waiting for the time.
Just creeping.
So I don't know.
I've been thinking about the Senate parliamentarian a lot. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking like, is that, are we ever going to hear those words again in our lifetime?
Here's the thing. I think if the Senate parliamentarian tried to stop Donald Trump, he would have them killed. Apologies. I believe I can't even begin to imagine what kind of bloodbath that would be. We are doing bad right now. We like both as a country and as three people hosting this podcast.
Yeah, struggling.
Struggle sesh
to host a podcast, which is in theory an easy thing to do.
We have more stuff to talk about with Elon Musk later, but I guess I can just mention, as I said, that Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy will be have been officially named as heads of the Department of Government Efficiency,
it won't be a real department.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that like this is I heard somebody say that like it might operate as a non-governmental nonprofit, which at that point, it's like, okay, what is happening here? You can't make a new department without getting like congressional approval. And the thing is that there's already a federal government Department of Efficiency, like that already exists. There is already I think it's like the budget office or there is some government department that literally does what they're trying to do. And I mean, like you could say we're going to reform it or whatever, but you don't need to make a whole new thing. I don't know. This is Elon's very dumb. And so is Vivek. Welcome back, Deanna. How you feeling, buddy?
That's seven. That's seven bombs for the day.
Okay. You going for the right. Wait, what's your record?
I've never kept track. This is a lot though.
It is a lot. My apologies.
You sound not good.
My apologies to the esophagus.
I'm not sure what's happening.
I blame, RFK Jr. He's Health and Human Services.
Yeah, this is definitely his fault.
Absolutely. Wait, what if like by the end of the day, you sounded like him?
I would deserve it. I mean, RFK would say that it's because of my ADHD meds and my SSRI, so... And you know what? He wouldn't be wrong. I think that is why I'm throwing up.
Fair enough. Let's, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about. I want to move on from talking, the rat race, the presidential politics. You know, I don't want the show to be all about Trump, and there's plenty of other shit going on. So I want to move on to talk about something a little bit different here. And I want to begin today with an update to a story from last week. Those goddamn monkeys down in South Carolina. They have caught 32 of the 43 escaped monkeys. There are 11 monkeys still on the wild, on the run. But this week I saw that there are also two feral emus on the loose in South Carolina.
In the same vicinity.
It's like 3 hours north, but it's the same state, so we're counting it. Okay. They get the same electoral votes.
I hope that the monkey is riding the emu.
Oh my God, me too. That would be great. That would heal this nation.
That would be cute and funny, at least.
I agree.
Until a state trooper shoots the monkey on camera.
Yeah, well, you know, that monkey.
Then the monkey becomes a right-wing martyr somehow.
For sure. I also want to tell the two of you, the names of these emus are Thelma and Louise. And another,
hell yeah,
another essential detail, they've killed a dog before.
Oh, shit.
Are they cops?
No, but they are head of a Department of Homeland Security with Christy Noem. This is Christy Noem is an emu.
Mm. That actually explains a lot.
Yeah, the people who accidentally let their emus go, they were like, I mean, they're not like dangerous, really. Like, they're not going to fuck with you.
Wait, so they're not feral emus? They're domesticated emus that escaped?
No, they're feral.
They are feral emus that were being in captivity.
Like,
somebody caught them at some point or was maybe trying to domesticate them, but they were in emu jail. And,
I see. Free them.
Imagine trying to domesticate some feral emus. These guys are just fucking losing their shit at you.
Truly, truly. Biscuit, what the fuck are you doing? He's trying to claw through the vent. I don't know what this cat... He's so stupid.
Everyone in here is struggling.
Truly. So, if you run into an emu named either Thelma or Louise, just give him...
Keep running.
Yeah, no, I was going to say offer him a cigarette.
Well, what if you run into one and you call it by the other one's name and it doesn't answer and it gets away?
Well, then it'll kill a dog.
Are we sure they're together?
No.
Okay. Well,
I have no idea. I haven't asked them. Also, the story was like, they've been on the loose for 3 months. And I was like, what? Those emus are fucking gone, dude.
They're just chilling then. Leave them alone. You know,
just leave
them
be.
Let the girls live.
I want to move on to a segment. This is called This Week in ACAB.
Oh, no.
I'm going to read the first paragraph of a story here, and I want you to see if you can figure out the details based off of this.
Okay.
This is out of, God damn it, I can't remember.
You have it. This you're not reading right now. This is you're from your memory.
Right. It doesn't matter. This is out of some fucking city.
Okay. Somewhere, sometime.
Somewhere in the United States, I believe in the South.
Okay,
this is the quote. A Metro police officer shot and killed a resident who was involved in an altercation with a knife early this morning in a southeast Las Vegas Valley neighborhood, officials said. A Metro police officer shot and killed a resident who was involved in an altercation with a knife early this morning. Now, do you want to know what happened here?
What? Wait.
Yeah, I guess.
Wait. But that says Las Vegas Valley. Were they in?
Las Vegas Valley, yeah.
Are they in Nevada?
Yes. I. That's what I was trying to find, is that I guess I did write this down where it happened. But yes.
Okay, so
the police shot and killed a resident who was involved in an altercation with a knife early this morning. I'll tell you.
All right.
There were several calls to the police because somebody was breaking into people's cars and houses, like just going on a rampage. And every single phone call said it is a guy wearing a red hoodie and black pants. The police showed up to this neighborhood, and they saw that a window was broken to this house, so they kicked open the door, and inside they found a man wearing a red hoodie and black pants being detained by a different guy who was shirtless and was holding the guy at knife point.
Okay.
The cops shot and killed the guy holding the knife.
Oh, my God.
Who was the homeowner who had apprehended the crazy guy who was breaking into everybody's houses.
Jesus Christ. But why did anyone need to get shot at all in this situation? Why were we shooting?
They...
less than useless. God damn.
Again, they got a call. They're like, there's this guy with a red hoodie. They kicked on a door, and the guy with the red hoodie has been captured. And they shot the homeowner who captured him and killed him in his own home.
What do we even do with that?
We have learned nothing. We have fixed nothing. We have changed nothing. Not like obviously like really in most of the history of policing, but like from 2020, whenever people were out in the streets, they were like, just fucking do something. You know, there was a lot of different ideas. You know, some people were like defund. Some people were like, you know, abolish. You know, there was some people that were just saying reform. We have done fucking none of it. And the police just continue killing people. And again, you know, you can make the argument. Oh, I just saw a guy with a knife. And it's like, dog, you knew you were looking for a guy with a red hoodie. And you saw the guy with the red hoodie having been caught by somebody else. And you just started firing. Fuck you.
Also, like, they broke the door down?
Yes.
So they didn't even stop to assess that situation at all.
No. They just saw a guy with a knife and they're like, well, I know what to do if somebody is like, if there's a situation that I can solve by shooting one of the people involved, I start shooting.
Oh my God.
It's fucking disgusting.
Stop watching cop shows on TV. If you're a cop, you shouldn't be allowed to watch cop shows on TV.
Truly. I don't know. I hate this country. Let's switch it up a bit. I also hate this planet. I saw an article this week that said scientists discover a sea creature as large as 2 basketball courts. And my first reaction, I was like, oh my God, fucking sick, dude. They finally found the Kraken. Or I'm thinking like maybe it's like a mythical whale or like a giant squid. I'm like fuck
deep
yeah,
sea
dude.
Dinosaur. What
yeah,
the
maybe even a super crab, you know? Then they're like,
no, I don't want no super crab. You saw.
I mean, I don't want it to exist, but I want to like, I want it to, I don't want to meet it, but I want it to exist.
A
okay.
Crab
that's
the size of
Amelia Earhart. Super crab.
A crab, the size of 2 football fields,
2 basketball courts. But still, I want to, first of all, I've been to all you can eat crab legs places before. This is, I feel like, all the town can eat. Like, can you imagine if you had a basketball court sized crab and then you're like, hey, we're doing a seafood boil, bro?
Can you imagine that we found a large crab and how fast people would try to just eat it?
Yes, is literally within the first 2 sentences.
Insane.
But
anyways.
The article said they discovered a sea creature as large as 2 basketball courts. And then it turns out, they're talking about a coral reef. Fuck you, science. Fuck you. That's not a creature. Shut the fuck up. You can't say creature. It's closer to a plant than an animal, and I will not be taking any fucking questions.
You know, but I appreciate science. That's the most interested anyone's been in science for like a minute.
It's because I want to fight it.
They got a little click. They did a little clickbait moment.
Yeah, I don't
think
know.
They got people on the giant sea creature.
Yeah. You know what, science? I know you're not going to fix anything, so just call me when you find a fucking Leviathan, okay? Until then, lose my number.
I don't know. Science isn't calling us. We stopped taking science's calls so long ago. Maybe they're just trolling us now.
I'm the only one who usually brings science news to this show, and when I do, both of you get this, like, glazed look in your eyes, like, oh, they're like, you're both just like counting the seconds until I stop talking.
Well, I mean, like,
I was
honestly,
reading studies in Nature magazine this morning.
I'm just trolling you. Come on.
Kennedy, the reason I glaze over is because it's not because you're talking about science. It's because you fucking put on a lab coat and thick glasses and then you just hold a beaker. It doesn't even have anything in it. You look weird. You're being ridiculous. Put the beaker down.
The beaker has alcohol in it. It has booze in it, man. We're getting wasted. We're getting wasted in this lab.
You lie.
That's not good lab safety. What next? Open-toed shoes?
I think I should be allowed to still joke about drinking, given how much I drank when I did drink, which was extraordinary.
Spark the blunt with the Bunsen burner. Kennedy, you said you have a story for us about a car?
Since we're talking about animals. No, this is...
You have a creature news.
I got a creature news.
Okay. What is it?
Okay. Well, so... a little while back, somebody submitted an insurance claim on their Rolls Royce in, I actually don't know where this story takes place either.
That's okay.
California. All right.
Somebody submitted an
insurance claim on their Rolls Royce. Their Rolls Royce had been severely damaged, they said, by a bear.
Oh, was there a picnic basket inside the Rolls Royce?
Perhaps.
Mayhaps.
There were definitely claw marks inside the car.
I don't think the Ranger's gonna like this, Yogi.
there were other pieces of evidence.
Some scat.
It seemed a little bit like bear.
It had a bear vibe.
It had a little bit of a wild animal might have been in this car vibes, but also seemed a little off.
I've definitely owned cars that had wild animal may have been in here vibes.
it seemed a little off to these insurance investigators. And also, part of the problem was this group of people involved in this scheme that will soon be revealed were also submitting claims on some other luxury cars, and they got too greedy. It's like too many fraudulent claims at once, and one of them involves a bear attack. That's crazy. So looking at the footage, the investigators felt it was pretty clear that this was not a fucking bear. They searched the home of one of the people involved in this scheme, and they found a bear costume.
I watched the video, and it is very clearly a dude dressed as a bear, like
poorly
rollicking around inside this Rolls Royce.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
The first tip off that it wasn't a bear should have been when the bear got in the car, and then like the car didn't shift, like the suspension didn't sag, nothing moved. If a 500-pound bear got in a car, you would see the car.
Yeah, yeah, that car's that if the car's not a rockin', that bear ain't
a knockin'.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what it was for sure. But yeah, so little person got in the car, dressed as a bear, got in the car, tore up the car, and then they tried to do
a very like Spirit Halloween bear suit. Like, just
wait, why was it even being filmed?
The security camera.
Oh, okay. I was like, did they like set up a camera just to do this? Because like the better move would have been to do it outside of the cameras.
Well, these weren't smart people.
I was going to say.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they thought they were cooking, you know, because it's like if you do it outside the cameras, then sometimes they'll be like, well, did it really happen? Blah, blah. And they're like, here, we're going to fabricate this evidence, you know.
I was going to say that, and I first and foremost want to preface this by saying that I know this isn't really how the job works of insurance investigator or whatever, claims adjuster. I don't know exactly what it is. Like, I know that the reason that job exists is to do everything in your power to not pay the people. But if there was a job like that that was just completely neutral, where like the insurance company is like, I don't really care, just go out there and figure out if they're lying, that would be such a fun job. Again, it's evil in reality because like you're supposed to go out there and like try and find some way not to pay people.
Right. And in reality, you don't usually get to run into kooky schemes like this. It's just like somebody who needs like a heart.
Yeah, yeah, it's awful, and you're like, oh well, on this technicality, like you blah blah blah, that sucks. But like, man, if you could just get a job that was like, hey, if we gotta pay, that's totally fine. Just like go out and double check that this isn't a kooky scam, because like you probably only get a few a year, and holy fuck, those have got to be the best days at your job that year.
Yeah, that would be a pretty fun job. That would be. Yeah,
can you imagine this video going around the office?
I got
insurance place.
Hey, Greg, I got one this week.
I got one. I got a guy in a bear suit.
Look at this dipshit. Well, rest in peace to that Rolls Royce. Now for some awful news. Hey, you know, we reported about a month ago. Just a little over a month ago from when we're recording this, we reported on the fact that Joe Biden, if you're wondering, that is the current president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Future former president, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, yeah, oh, fuck, former, future, former. God damn, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with presidents these days. Joe Biden, about a little over a month ago, sent a warning to Israel, and like we've been waiting for him to stand up to Benjamin Netanyahu for more than a year now and finally do something to slow down all the fucking bombs that are going in and blowing up people in Gaza. And Joe Biden, he put his foot down a month and a week or so ago. He sent them a letter and he gave them 30 days to reverse the course of the humanitarian situation happening in Gaza. He gave him 30 days. And he's like, if you don't do this, we will actually stop sending you as many bombs. You know, whoa, real consequences. And I'm happy to report that those 30 days are up. And Biden was like, oh, we didn't really mean that. That's, yeah. Yeah. Biden hit him with the, it's like, nah, we got you, Benjamin.
That's
hey, but didn't you see Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders both came out in the last week and took a hard stance saying, we can't keep doing this shit anymore. We can't just keep sending Israel unlimited bombs anymore. Conveniently, they have not taken this stance until it was clear that the Republicans would be in power. What a fucking incredible job, guys. Just fucking wow. Wow.
Absolutely brilliant.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it is. You know, you hate to see it, but we're seeing it. Also, so it seems as if, you know, Joe Biden, he's not going to do a goddamn thing in his waning days in office to try and slow down Israel. But we still have the International Criminal Court. You know, if America won't hold Israel accountable, maybe the international community can. And this week, it was announced that the lead prosecutor bringing the case against Israel is being investigated for sexual misconduct.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Now, here's the thing. As a general rule, never even like entertaining the idea of like, oh, this is just some lady making shit up to take some guy down. And like, I'm not fully ready to say that. But like, goddamn, does this seem like the time that somebody would do something like that? This is one person made an accusation that he made like an unwanted advance towards her. And he was like, all right, do an investigation. I welcome it, please. But I have work to do, which that is the kind of thing that like he didn't even say I didn't do it. He's like, yes, please do the investigation. But I'm working. That's like, I mean, I guess it's hard to say that's like something a guilty person wouldn't say because that's how they get you. But I don't know. This feels like a fucking sham.
I mean, it's hard to say, but I don't want to discredit that person.
Yeah.
On the basis that this is some kind of political game. I hope that the investigation is thorough and fair and also, that...
I mean, the horrible reality we live in is that so many people in power are fucking awful.
And are predators.
Agreed, yes.
And so therefore, like, you know... It's but this part of how the system works is just like if they're all awful, then they can just sell anyone out at any time.
Yeah.
And that provides like some sort of it's just so fucked up. So it's like this could be true. And, you know, they're still, you know, they've chosen a convenient time to bring this forward. And like people knew for years or what, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like there's so many fucking possibilities here that suck.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like I don't say that kind of thing lightly. Like this is not something that, you know, I know what it sounds like to be a guy to be like, oh, she's making it up. Like, but like just Trump wins. So now Israel knows the United States isn't going to do shit. And then he's like, or Netanyahu's like, okay, well, how do we get the International Criminal Court off our back? I don't fucking know. It's like,
it doesn't sound good. None of it's good. Yeah. If it's bad, if it's
so
true, it's bad. If it's false, it's bad. It's all bad.
Yeah. Well, hey, while we're on the subject of Joe Biden and Donald Trump, they got to hang out this week.
Oh, I saw a little meet cute.
Yeah. And Joe Biden was like, hey, I'm going to help you do whatever you need, buddy. I got your back.
I don't know why Joe Biden looked so happy during all of that.
He was smiling so fucking big. It was ridiculous. It was fucking ridiculous. You said that guy was basically Hitler. Like you said that he was the biggest threat to like our democracy since the Civil War. And now you're like, if there's anything I can do to help, like I got your back. Like what? How do you get there?
Let's have a peaceful transition of power into the fascist pedophile regime.
Like this, he fucking did January 6th and then didn't even show up to your fucking inauguration. And like, didn't like, what is the point of civility? Like, I'm not saying you have to go full on, like, fuck this guy. Like, you know, being aggressive, but like, what's the point of doing all this shit? And you're like, oh, we have to show that we're the bigger people. It's like, why? For who? Who gives a fuck about this? Who? What Democrat is like, well, the Republicans are going to take away all my rights, but at least we're good people. Like, who thinks that? I mean, I guess people think that. I don't know.
Where they go low, we
are so embarrassing.
We fucking suck ass.
The whole thing's just embarrassing. I saw a fucking picture of Chuck Schumer like literally laughing while talking to Trump. I mean, this was like a paparazzi photo. Somebody took it through a window. I don't even know where this came from, but you know, now I'm thinking about it. Maybe it's an old photo that somebody's just pretending like it was new, but yeah, I don't know.
Who the fuck knows anymore? It's AI generated, probably. Everything's AI generated now. Nothing's real. This podcast is generated by AI.
I'm a Zune. You remember Zunes? It's like people that couldn't buy an iPod. Zune.
Come on and Zune.
No, I'm actually a Mazda. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Oh.
That's right, folks. We are having a wonderful Christmas time. Kennedy. Oh God, I feel like
can we go back to the simpler times of Folgers making an incest commercial for Christmas and that being our biggest controversy?
I want to know if they're going to still try and do the war on Christmas this year. Like, you know, it feels like we lost, or Santa won, maybe. No, Jesus won. No, who, what am I talking about? Christmas isn't about Santa. It's about the Son of the Lord.
It's about Carlos Santana. Just like the ocean.
Under the moon, I got a San Francisco man, a Hamburglar. Give me your scotch, make it real, or else it's a different kind of tape.
Wow.
But that's a fucking banger song, actually. Here's the thing. I mean,
everybody
like,
loves that song. Everybody
I haven't heard it in a while because I remember always hearing it like on the like just playing on like the radio at a store or something. Like that was the kind of song that would be like on at Kmart or something, you know, like or the mall or whatever. Just like ambient in the background everywhere you went. Here's the thing. I don't really go places that much anymore. I think it's been years since it's been too long since I've heard that song. Truly. And just like the ocean under the moon, I got a bam, bam.
Everybody loves that song universally. It's just, you know, you could just play that. You could play that at like any social gathering, pretty much.
Yeah. There's no demographic that's going to be like, not this song.
What an incredible soundtrack to me barfing for the eighth time today.
No, was this the eighth or the ninth?
This was the eighth.
See, this is what happens when I try to do math. So
but we'll remember the ninth and the 11th one.
Yeah, never forget.
Of course. Moving on. This week, somebody asked Grok. You know about Grok, Elon or Twitter's version of AI or whatever.
Yes.
Somebody asked Grok who the biggest spreader of misinformation on X, the everything app, is. And Grok replied that it's Elon Musk.
Incredible.
His own AI is working against him. And like, here's the thing. It didn't just say Elon Musk. It like explained. It's like when you factor into the amount of incorrect things that he says and just the far reach of his audience, it is undeniable. Like,
wow. They did the math. They did math.
You know what? AI, you might. I'm still mostly against you, but like this is a point in your column.
I heard a good use of AI this week. I'm not lying.
Okay. That's. I wasn't even thinking you were lying, and now I kind of am.
In old Bing Bong land in Britain, some company, I forget which one, debuted an AI that sounds like an old lady and is meant to waste scammers' time.
Oh,
and it's actually already been in use and been successful, but they just revealed, hey, so we've been doing this for the last couple of months and here's what's been happening, basically.
Imagine that, like, the scammers, though, I feel like also use AI for their scams. So now we just have two robots.
We just have Siri talking to Alexa.
Wasting each other's time.
Burning down an entire forest.
Tons of clean water.
You know what? It's not like we're going to drink that anyways. I'm not thirsty right now.
True. I'd throw it up if I did drink it.
Exactly. You don't want to get me in a water right now. It's just going to end up splattered a little bit of dirty.
I mean, to be fair, you did give me water and that is what happened.
Oh, to be God fair, all I'm, water I'm part gets of the problem. Splattered all over the toilet when you think about it.
I pee outside a lot, actually. It's splattered on the ground.
Give it back to nature. It's grounding.
Yeah, it came from the earth, and I return it to the earth.
What is nature except the big toilet? Hire me for the Department of the Environment, Donald Trump.
Department of the Environment. That's a good... Anyways, well, hey, while we're on this subject of Elon Musk, he was hit this week with several class action lawsuits over his win $1 million if you registered a vote scheme that he was doing. And here's the thing. We talked about this the week before the election because he had gotten in trouble. He actually, I don't know, he personally, I don't think, went to court, but like his representatives were in court because what he was essentially doing was running an illegal lottery, which are like, there are very strict rules against doing that.
Yeah, they're very serious about the lottery.
So what he did, or what his representatives did, is they got to court and they're like, okay, no. This isn't actually an illegal lottery, because what we're doing, we're not actually picking a random person to give them the money. We are pre-selecting them based on whatever standards or whatever fucking thing, like, you know, whoever would be a good photo op. So the winners are predetermined. It's not a real lottery. Here's the thing is that that is just a different kind of fraud. Like, that's not legal.
That's also illegal. Like, as you were describing it, I was like, isn't that a different crime?
It sure is. And so this, again, it's just like a different flavor of you're breaking the law, you fucking dumbass. So this can be a class action lawsuit for every single person that registered thinking that they had a chance to win. And again, like, I don't fucking know exactly how this will shake out. I don't know how many people liked Elon Musk enough to sign that thing and then didn't, and then would join a class action lawsuit. But the one thing that makes me feel good about it is that the lawyer who is handling that class action lawsuit is none other than Mark Bankston. Do you two know who Mark Bankston is?
No, who is that?
Mark Bankston is the lawyer, one of the lawyers that represented the Sandy Hook families against InfoWars.
Incredible.
Oh. Mark Bankston is also, he's taken Elon Musk to court before representing, if you remember a few years ago, whenever there was some like mass shooting and Elon doxed the wrong person saying that they were the shooter. Mark Bankston got a settlement for that person. I don't know if that case has fully been completed yet, because, you know, the one thing you can do if you have a couple billion dollars is fuck the system so it takes 20 years to do anything.
Slow cases down to an absolute halt.
But Mark Bankston, here's the thing. I've heard him talk before. He's given a few interviews on the podcast about Alex Jones' knowledge fight. He's great. He's also in the HBO documentary that I think it's called The People versus Alex Jones or something.
Oh yeah.
Mark Bankston's in that. He's very good. And he's kind of like punk rock. Like, he talks about how, like, he got his law degree and he's like, all right, how do I fuck up the people at the top? Like, he's a cool guy. And
I'm into that.
My second favorite lawyer.
Who's your first favorite lawyer?
Yeah, I'm going to need that information right now.
Brian Steele, Young Thug's lawyer.
I should have known, actually.
Fair enough. So, you know,
that guy, I just want to shout him out again for just, he was still like, we can win this. We can totally win this. I'll get you off.
So while we're on the subject of Mark Bankston and InfoWars and lawsuits, I want to actually begin to wrap things up this week with some good news. I'm going to be honest with the two of you. We have two pieces of good news this
week.
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, that's, I don't believe it yet.
It's unusual for us.
It is unusual to have two good newses. So the one I'm sure I know you both have heard of. The other, I don't know if you have, so I'm very excited to share it with you. The first piece of good news is obviously that on Thursday morning was the day that we're going to see the auction of InfoWars Studio and Alex Jones's Twitter handle and all this shit. The day finally came. We've been hearing about this for forever. And it's like, God damn it. What fucking rich piece of shit is going to go out and bail out Alex Jones once again? And then it was announced that InfoWars was acquired in whole by the fucking Onion.
With help
from the Sandy Hook victims.
Yes, the Sandy Hook victims, the ones who Alex Jones owes over $1 billion to, they actually took a reduced payment so that it could be like that. Their part of their payment could be buying InfoWars away from Alex Jones. And so here's the thing. After this happened, first of all, Alex Jones freaked out. Very funny. Second of all, he has, since this like judgment came, he's been like setting up like sneaky alternative ways where he can like pretend that he works for a completely unrelated company that is still just him saying the same thing into a microphone. It's crazy. So he has this going, and like he got on and he just started losing his mind after the judgment came down. And then like 2 days later, InfoWars popped back up and he was back on InfoWars. So here's the thing is that he's trying to appeal this decision and on the grounds that the auction was like done improperly. And so there were only two bids in this auction for InfoWars. One was the Onions bid, and the other was from a company that was affiliated with Alex. It was just Alex Jones doing shady shit to try and buy it himself.
Damn. Crazy, though, that no one even wanted it. Nobody, no. Not only was nobody coming to save him, but like just not nothing.
And here's the thing is that
he's actually become so toxic that like
he has served his purpose and now is just a losing venture. Like he has a lot of name recognition. There are a lot of people. He has diehard fans, but it's like diminishing returns. There aren't like a bunch of new people coming to Alex Jones. They're going to like people that are crazier than him. They're going to people that are doing something similar, but are younger or more openly racist. Like they're not going to Alex Jones, who, you know, if you listen to Alex Jones's like his full show, he says like the crazy shit that you hear in clips, but then he's also like talking about demons for like an hour straight. Like he's insane. And just like completely disconnected from reality. It's wild.
Yeah, the more crazy of his fans went the direction you just said, and the marginally less crazy ones went to Joe Rogan.
Right, right. And again, now that Trump's in office, there is really no point to like have a strong like. Maybe if there's a Democrat in, you're like, okay, we need all the resistance we can get. But it's like, fuck it, Trump's in office; they can't stop us now. What do we need a PR department or, you know, like a mouthpiece like this? And again, like, not that it would hurt, or like for a neutral right wing commentator, it wouldn't hurt. But Alex Jones is a neutral. Alex Jones, if you buy InfoWars, you are now also responsible if he gets sued for libel again. Like, it's a bad investment.
Yeah.
So naturally, the only people that actually wanted to retain to buy the rights to InfoWars was Alex Jones.
Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. So they're taking this to court and they're saying like, well, they didn't even tell us the amount of the other bids so that we could bid. And they're but like the thing is, and I heard this explained that like this may sound fair that the judge, the person handling the auction, chose to sell it to the other bidder. And like you could say like, oh, that's not right. You can't choose. And here's the thing. If the Mona Lisa goes up for auction and the highest bid comes from ISIS, you can be like, well, we're not selling it to ISIS. Like that is actually how auctioning works. You don't have to sell it to the highest bidder if they're evil or like for whatever reason, you know?
I don't know if that's how this type of auction. I don't know enough about any. Actually, I don't know.
From what I was reading in the judgment that was handed down, it does apply in this specific auction that
okay.
like they reserve the right by handling it through this third party that was handling the auction. They reserve the right to like use judgment in who they sell it to.
Mm, makes sense.
So like they're appealing and like it's on a stay right now, but it's game over. Alex Jones does not get to do InfoWars anymore.
Great. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's awesome. Also, the guy who runs The Onion is fucking hilarious, dude. He's like created this alternate persona called, I don't even know. It's like Tetreadon. It's just like an evil looking symbol. And he's like, just tweets out how he's like, oh, we are going to control the world. it's so fucking cool. So like I said, you know, it is one piece of good news, but there's actually a second piece of, I think, even better news.
Ooh.
And if this one has a shocking hero to it, you would not in a million years guess unless you already
okay.
So this week the studio that housed the Muppets, Jim Henson's studio in Los Angeles, which I did not know this was actually originally that studio was built by Charlie Chaplin.
Mm.
But yeah, like the fucking Henson's Muppet House. It had to go up for sale. Like, they could not afford to keep that studio and keep the Muppets home in the Henson family, I guess. And the highest bidder for the studio was the fucking Scientologists, dude. Scientologists were coming for the Muppets?
Man, dude.
And so this week, right before the sale went through, John Mayer stepped up with the cash and was like, no. John Mayer bought the Muppet Studio so that the Scientologists couldn't get it.
Unbelievable.
John fucking Mayer from the back, dude. Where's he been?
was not on the board for me.
No, wouldn't have even, I wouldn't have gotten there in 100 guesses.
Yeah.
If you were like, it was a musician, a famous musician. You've got five guesses or something like that.
So John Mayer defeated Scientology in its quest for Kermit. We live in, you know, the world is a bad place, but at least we've got that.
I wonder what the Scientologists wanted to do with it.
Yeah. I also, to be clear, I'm not 100% sure if this was like just the empty building or if they got any of the actual Muppets or like the studios or sound stages or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I couldn't.
But I'm choosing to report it as John Mayer saved Kermit from Scientology. I'm choosing to say this story that way. And this is my fucking show, listeners. So you just get it. That's how you take the news.
That's the good news. Kermit was saved
by John Mayer.
By John Cougar Mellencamp.
Wow.
Wowie. That's our third piece of good news for this week, is that you just said that.
I can't do any more news. I'm going to throw up for the ninth time.
Yeah. Well, that's all the news we have. Deanna, would you like to plug anything?
Uh-uh.
Your esophagus, no. Maybe?
Yeah.
Kennedy, bye. You got anything?
You know, I've been getting a lot of followers on Blue Sky since Twitter's imploding. So, you know, follow me on Blue Sky at kennedydcooper.bluesky.social.
Sounds made up.
I got some new projects in the works. And if you follow me there, you'll know about them before other people.
Hell yeah. I am doing another podcast called The Crumbling. There's a few episodes of it out. You can find that wherever you find those. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/worstweekyet. Support the show. Make sure that we make Kennedy watch the movie Am I Racist? And more important than all that, tune in again next week for more bad news.